Welcome to a second episode of Scenario this week. We told y'all we're going to have multiple episodes this week, and we're going to do a little handoff. It's going to be a lot of different stuff you're going to be seeing coming up soon. We got our man AI on the line from the commentary show. They'll be coming next week, so we're going to hand off to them as kind of a soft handoff, as Matt calls it. AI, thank you for being on here, man. Again, man, thank you for the commentary, actually getting this going. I know people have been like, this has been like the Detox album. Well, you just come out with singles. Y'all just come out with singles.
That's what it is, bro. All streams, man. No, appreciate it, fellas. Thanks for having me on, man. Commentary.
If commentary was an album, is it Detox? Is it My Girl from No Limit? Mercedes?
Mercedes.
Oh, dang.
How
many people bought the album just for what, you know?
I bought it for the payoff. I was like, well, shit, at this point, I feel like I got to buy it, even if I don't want it. That's not what the commentary is. That's exactly what people want. But you get what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for spinning through, dog. And it's crazy that, like, it's easier almost to get brothers together when everybody's stuck in the house. But it still ain't as easy. It's just like, hey, we about to do this right now. All right, bet, I'm good.
Yeah.
It still is a task. It's crazy like that.
Yeah, it was. I know I was running in and out of the house. I'm going to my office as needed, to take care of a few things. But that's about it, man. I'm in the crib. I got my whole setup going here, and I'm good to go, man. I'm not out here, bro.
What's your food situation looking like? Like, how are your rations? How long are you prepared to have to live in the environment?
Man, so listen, my girl is like 12 times over analytical, man. So we were prepared like 2 weeks in advance. So we were in the grocery store. Everything was plentiful, you know what I'm saying? So no short on toilet paper or napkins or food or anything. We got everything. We don't even have a deep freezer, but I think we have one now because it's like, you know.
I get you. We have support groups for over analytical girlfriends. They're on Wednesday nights. I think they're on Zoom too, like everything else. So I'll send you the link.
But yeah, I'll shoot her to her myself.
But that was the case for me, man. Cause when I started hearing about people grabbing stuff like toilet paper, I was like, nah, I'll be good there. I ain't worried about that. So I just went and bought everything else that I could find that I knew was gonna be hard to get in a few. So I am starting to run out of stuff now, but we getting there. I've got bigger quarantine concerns, but we'll talk about that in a few, though.
Yeah. I mean, the bigger thing is, you know, have you paid attention to, like, what is still sitting in stores, bro? Like, that's kind of interesting, too.
You mean, like, all those seasonings and no meat? Because I shop at the I don't shop at the most diverse schnooks, I should say. There's a fair amount of meat that's gone, but not enough seasonings. There should be more seasonings gone. So it tells me who are the people that are panicking and who's overprepared right now. I ain't gonna call no names, white people, but.
Oh, man.
D, what we got, man? What's up? What's on the agenda?
All right, let's jump into some emails real quick. This one is from our man, Dark Scribe. Shout out to you, Dark Scribe, man. Always holding us down, man. He says, greetings, Scenario crew. Hope all is well despite the current circumstance. To answer your question from a previous podcast, I live in White Rock area here in Dallas near the SMU campus.
Oh, okay. I thought he was in South Dakota.
No, he was. Remember he said he moved. Remember he's like, he got up out of there.
Oh, that's right.
Remember he was like, I moved to Texas.
I bet you wish he would have stayed now.
Oh, so he says a couple of sports questions, some ideas for future podcast content. He said, questions, who got screwed the worst by their former teams, Cam Newton or Jameis Winston? Let's start there.
Ooh, I like that one. I'm going to say Cam. Cam got benched for like a seventh round cat and then got fired. Like, yeah. They gave Jameis every chance on earth. And then he didn't get replaced by Teddy Bridgewater. He got replaced by Tom Brady. Like, that's a different situation. I think if
And Jameis also had the rape case stuff. He wilding out in the – he's wilding out in the Uber, you know, like, and you throwing the most interceptions ever in history of football.
Like, he's the only 30 touchdown, 30 interception.
Like that. Hey, the thing is crazy though. If you touch my game, he had 30 for 30. Oh, what, 30 touchdown, 30 rushing, 30 throwing? No.
Nah, bro. Those are positive things. These are the opposite. They said that Jameis became the first player. They said Jameis' stats is kind of off the charts. He's the first player to ever had 30 picks and 30 touchdowns in a season. He also threw a pick on his first pass as a Buck and his last pass as a Buck. With both of them, I think, being pick sixes. So, I mean, he's if anything, he's exciting.
Wow.
So, I don't know. But I'll ask y'all this. Which one do you think got the chance of starting again first?
Cam.
I agree. Cam should be starting next year.
Jameis may not be starting ever again.
Jameis need to go somewhere like the Jets, where they got, like, a kind of whack quarterback that's going to prove he whack soon, and then you can get a job from him that way.
But he's not coming out starting nowhere. He's not going to start anywhere, you think, right?
I don't really see where it's at. I couldn't see Belichick dealing with that. And the Chargers say they're not going to get a veteran cat. So I don't know.
Where does Cam go then?
Cam, now I could see Cam in New England. I could see Belichick.
That'd be a hell of a boy. I would tune in for Boston radio every day if he goes to Boston.
Because oh, my God.
You know, the thing about it is that most of the time we look at the Patriots and be like, oh, Patriots is this. That's white boy team. But, hey, the Patriots will take talent if it's out there. Like, if there's bargain talent, Belichick will take it. Like, he did the same thing with Moss. He's done the same thing with plenty of cats on defense. I mean, he's the recycled defenders capital of all time. So, I don't know, man. I feel like Cam is the one that's really got the most, you know, to prove, I guess. Jameis just need another chance.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, he has what do you guys think about Lewis Hamilton winning his sixth Formula One World Championship? By the way, if you're looking for something different to watch while stuck indoors, check out the Netflix docuseries featuring Lewis Hamilton titled Formula One Drive to Survive Season 2. Yo, I fuck with Lewis Hamilton for the record.
Yeah, and check out his interview with David Letterman too on David Letterman's show on Netflix. It was a dope look at how he got there.
Yeah, he did a dope thing on Real Sports too with Brian Gumbel too with his dad and his mom too.
Yeah. Well, Lewis Hamilton's the best black athlete in the world that nobody black in America.
You got damn right. Yeah. And on the Lolo, he's got a nice roster of women he's kicked it with too on the Lolo. He got Rihanna.
Yeah, I mean, Lewis Hamilton is life goals. I mean, like, for real. Like, dude's living the life. He's got a $50 million contract with Mercedes-Benz. Like, that dude.
And nobody messes with you either, though, but you got VIP.
Right.
Like, ain't nobody mess with you when you are in the hotel. Like, if you walking through the hotels, like, okay, I see a light-skinned black dude. All right.
He said it himself, in America, he can go wherever.
Dude, that's amazing.
And he don't really get bothered. But meanwhile, he's been, like, one of the top 10 earning athletes in the world for, like, damn near a decade. But that's America, man. We care about our sports, and we care about other sports if there's somebody in it that we know.
Is he from overseas, or where is he from?
He's British.
British, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I remember watching the documentary a while back where he had his dad on there and whatnot, so.
Yeah, he's a real guy, man. So, yeah, check out Lewis Hamilton if y'all haven't yet. Good call on that, Dark Scribe.
All right, next up he has let me get back in his email here. He says, since we're in the midst of a pandemic and there will not be a national championship crown of basketball this year, why not take the opportunity to release a new bracket? How about a black culture icons versus comic book icons bracket? He said, for example, like a versus bracket, not necessarily a bracket, but kind of like a
Martin Luther King versus Black Panther?
Oh, no. Yeah, no. He has Dolomite versus Batman.
We went over that, though, didn't we?
No, we never did this. Just talked about that comic book that showed Dolomite slapping Batman.
Okay, that's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. The Brown Hornet versus Ant-Man. Blank Man versus Professor X. The other guy versus Iron Fist. Things of those natures. Also, if you're looking for someone to interview or look at his black content creator, check out Black Sands Entertainment. Also creating good content. Definitely going to check him out, man. Nice. Be well. Dark Scribe. Shout out to you, Dark Scribe.
Yeah, that's an interesting topic. I will say real quick, I can't go into all of those right now, but I got the feeling that Blank Man might give Professor X a concussion if he go in his head.
Yeah, because it's just so crazy.
Yeah, there's too much going on, dog. Like, he would need, like, two cerebros to get through that.
He said two cerebros. So let's go ahead and jump into it, man. Go ahead and jump into the topics.
All right, man. First up, man, we just going to – it's still going on. We talked about it last week – well, earlier this week, whenever. The Big Rona versus the Lil Rona, man. And the Big Rona, man, is still moving. The Rona is spreading, and it's starting to hit more and more people that are near and dear to us all. On the same day today, we got that Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert both recovered and aren't showing symptoms anymore. Man, we find out that both Slim Thug and Scarface got it. I don't like that, dog. I don't like that at all. I'm curious to know, as this Rona is spreading, who are the people that we just can't afford to get wrapped up in the Rona for you? Like, each of y'all give me a couple people that we just can't afford to get wrapped up in the Rona, and why? Outside of yourselves, obviously.
If we're just going, you know, mainstream, I'm going to say Barack can't get caught up in the Rona, man.
Can't have it. Can't happen.
No.
I was gonna say Barack too. Damn. I'm gonna go off brand here. Michelle as well. The whole Obama family can't get it. Period. That was mine. I was thinking about was Obama.
That means that's good. Good man. You know.
Yeah.
That's national treasure of the highest level.
We can't right.
I'd be remiss to say I don't want OJ to get it.
No.
I'd be remiss to say I don't.
Although I'm 100% sure that OJ would beat it.
OJ is definitely Corona.
Like OJ would be fine. Like if anything, OJ would make it a big deal. Like he would beat the Rona twice or something like that. Like damn, OJ just had it. Well, OJ beat it again. Don't let it go to a civil trial. But OJ will beat it otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who else is out there? I don't want to see. I was thinking about the target audience. I don't want like Willie Mays or like Hank Aaron or nobody like that to get it.
Nah, right. Nah. That's what I was saying.
Like, I don't want that to happen. What really made me sad was this week when they said, damn, if this Corona would have hit a little bit earlier, we probably wouldn't have lost Kobe. I was like, oh, what the hell?
Oh man.
Oh, damn, like, man.
Damn, dog.
Because he wouldn't have been traveling. God damn.
I was like, oh my God. There's no right time for this shit to happen. But when you
So he said we could have sacrificed a couple of older people and we would have had Kobe, basically.
Yo.
That's fucking foul, man.
Hey, that's foul, man. That's foul.
Savages, bro. Straight savages.
But it's also not wrong either, but it's still foul.
So they gonna blame that on Trump too? Like if you would have got this lockdown earlier, Kobe wouldn't have been flying.
I'm cool with blaming him for pretty much anything at this point.
Yeah, I'm down with that. I'd rather do that instead of saying the Corona. We need the Corona for older people to get hemmed up. I'm not cool with that. I'm not cool with that at all.
Get it? Who's out there who can't get it?
National treasures. Let's see here. Who can't get it, bro?
John Lewis.
Ooh. John Lewis.
My entire existence here, man. Bobby shows you can literally do pretty much anything.
That he was at the Galleria like last time he was here, right? Just walking around kicking it.
Oh, bruh. That's amazing. Okay. Get it either.
No.
We good.
All right. So, yeah. So, Magic, Bobby Brown, Hank Aaron, and Willie Mays. And Bill Russell.
Bill Russell. Now, this is something we talked about last week, and someone mentioned it to me before we even jumped farther, with the strip club situation. I heard that Magic City is still open for food only in Atlanta.
you are an Atlanta expert on the line here. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
My bad, gents. Hit pause real quick.
Go ahead.
All right, so my bad, gents.
All good. No, I was just saying, man, I said that you might be – he was saying that Magic City is still open for food only, however.
Yes.
So I was saying, you might be our foremost Atlanta person in the mix right here. So what are your thoughts on that development in the capital of Black America?
Man, so Magic City is like no place you've ever been. Magic City gone. I mean, so here's my thing, right? So
but they're serving food still. It's not gone. They're serving food.
Oh, food is still there.
Yeah.
I mean, who's going for the food? You know? Like, I mean,
that's what I'm just, but I mean, they're doing virtual strippers too, supposedly, I guess.
Something. Wait, like hold up.
Yeah, hold on. Let me put that in the chat for y'all. Hold on.
Like that Freddie Mercury hologram or like?
No, like you can log in. Like, I guess it's a, I mean, but that's OnlyFans though. I mean, I
only
guess.
OnlyFans, yeah.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm going to send y'all the link. Yeah. Magic City. If you put in Magic City virtual dances, yeah, it pops right up.
Right. I don't want to know.
Offer interactive lap dances. Interactive. Virtual interact, which is basically OnlyFans though. So I'm trying to figure out what's the, unless they just decide to just do, why don't you just do an OnlyFans Magic City account at that point?
Now the girls will be fighting and everything virtually then, man. So it'll be all bad.
I just sent a link for y'all in the chat.
Hey, Magic City is a good time, man. Like, shout out to Magic City, yeah.
Magic City, I've seen some things.
Oh, my God. I think that Magic, if I had to choose, like, I've been to, let's see, I've been to Diamonds in Miami and Magic City. I think that.
What's the King best one you've ever been to?
The best one I've ever been to.
That's an impossible question for me.
Yeah.
I'm not in the condition usually to remember when I'm there.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Diamonds ATL used to pop. It's closed now, though.
What is the best, like bang for your buck one where you'd be like, dang, like, you? I wouldn't have known this would have been cracking. Like, under the radar.
Bottoms up.
No, you're laughing. I've heard a lot of people say that.
Yeah. No, I'm serious.
I've heard a lot of people come from out of town, all kind of places, be like, yo, what's up with that bottoms up on the east side?
Yeah. Bottoms up, bro. Like,
are there people that go on vacations just to see to visit famous strip clubs? Like, some people go to basketball games.
Yo, you know what? That's a reality show. That's a reality show waiting, though, dog.
All right, let's go ahead and get that under production.
People know about. You got to think about bottoms up. Bottoms up got all different stages. It's got the shower going on. It's got your VIP rooms. It's got a lot going on for where it's located.
True. True.
For its locational purposes, being over in that area in Brooklyn, Illinois. This Brooklyn is definitely not the other Brooklyn, folks.
No, I would rather be in this Brooklyn than the other Brooklyn right now, though, by the way the news looks.
So, yeah, man, RIP to Waffle House, as we mentioned in Atlanta, man. RIP to the Waffle House. They have closed all their locations because of the pandemic.
See, and that's when you start having those side damages that start to really drive in. Like, that was one of the things I think that let Black people know this is a real thing. Hey, Waffle House. The what is what? I didn't even know that.
The Rona's really here.
Yeah, this is like, you got to put this one under Big Rona moments. That's not a little Rona moment. This is a Big Rona moment right there.
Oh, man. That is a Big Rona moment.
Yeah. You got to spell the Rona in all caps when that happens. That and when barbershops close was the two biggest Rona moments so far next to the NBA going out of business.
Yeah. This person will remain unnamed. I'm stumbling over my words here because I wanted to just figure out how to get this out. So one of my people got a barbershop, so I haven't gotten my haircut yet. I'm over here looking crazy. But he said, man, pull up on me. I said, bro, I'm just going to pull up and say what's up real quick, da 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 da. So I pull up, man. He has like three humidifiers in there with bleach and water blowing into the air.
Hey, it looked like the set of Outbreak. Like the set of Outbreak.
Man, when I tell you I was weak, I say, man, why is it like bleach? He said, oh, yeah, I got bleach running through the humidifier.
Fuck no. He going to come. Hey, you better be careful. He going to come out this thing looking like Sammy Sosa.
Right.
Like, damn, bro, why you got white spots splattered on your face everywhere? Listen, man, I had to survive that Rona. But, man, that's a little – see, that right there is a little Rona moment that you're turning into a big Rona moment. There's a lot of things that people are doing where it's little Rona, but it's becoming big Rona by the way that we're treating it.
Yeah. Hey, people, it's just not worth it, man. I mean, I understand. Like, I get it from – both perspectives, you know, because at one point in time, being a DJ was, you know, my only career. So I can only imagine if I were still in that space, how I would be, you know, financially right now. But man, whew, just, yeah, it's not worth it.
Yeah, there's certainly, we're doing everything that we can right now to try to both keep normal life and also ruin our long-term life for as long as possible, I feel like.
Yeah, I would agree.
I feel like people are like looking for every loophole when they need to be looking for every avenue to not have a loophole. And that's where we are stretching this thing out at. Like, listen, man, it's okay. I mean, I feel like at no point in my life being raised as an only child has benefited me more than the last 2 weeks. I am completely okay. I feel like Bane right now. Like, oh, I was born into this solitude, into this social distancing. You just merely adapted it. I'm good. I'm real straight out here. But yeah, that's it's some industries, man, that I don't feel like are bulletproof to this. And I think that the adult entertainment industry is one that most certainly is feeling the burn, because I don't think that any of that stimulus package was underwritten for tips received from dancing and other forms of entertainment.
But you know what plan would have, though? MAFA would have had a part of this. Would have had this set up.
If MAFA would have run in 16, when we probably should have run, everybody would have been covered, especially in those industries. Barbers would have been covered. You know, we would have had Iron Man like costumes for barbers so that they wouldn't have to be at risk here, because that I feel like is the biggest loss right now in society is, you know, when you talk about flattening the curve, that shit gonna happen to people's linings too. Like, everybody's lining is gonna be flat as shit out here in about 2 weeks, and it's gonna be a state of Black America that we haven't seen since the Emancipation Proclamation.
But the thing is, though, everybody can be looking messed up. So it's all equal. It's going to be all fair and game then.
Now, see, you say that, brother, but you see, you wrong. You wrong, brother. See, anti-conspiracy brother got his light-skinned conspiracy brother got to step in for a second here.
All right. Here we go.
Actually, this is bougie conspiracy brother.
Okay.
But meanwhile, brother, you don't realize that our society is going to try to take this into their own hands. And what's going to end up emerging is a bunch of brothers that got the same line in as Balrog or Street Fighter. And it ain't going to be no comeback from it. Light-skinned people going to come outside looking Puerto Rican. Black people going to come outside with their hair and their skin blended in together. You're just not going to know where it ends. Everybody going to be looking like them old folks off of Coming to America in that barbershop. That's going to be the real tragedy of the ages after the Big Rona has his way. Because we going to survive. Black people going to survive. However, when the Big Rona is done taking out all these toilet-licking motherfuckers out here, the biggest damage to us is going to be that our linings might be beyond repair in some cases, because some brothers jump the line and try to take matters into their own hands.
I'm brothers.
Right now, we got a surgeon general, but we need to have a barber surgeon general who gives out little advisories like, hey, brothers, please don't try to taper yourself. Don't try to do anything. Don't give yourself these hot butter knife-ass haircuts. Because I'm not going to be able to save you from yourself. And that's what we really need. We need a barber's surgeon general warning. That's what I think. And that's all that bougie conspiracy brother has to say on that.
Damn, I didn't even, man, this is, man, we got a new brother. All right, what we call him Poindexter?
bougie conspiracy brother, that's Farnsworth.
Farnsworth, okay.
Yeah. So speaking of which, that brings us to the WTFW of the week.
Go ahead, because you mentioned it. You already mentioned it.
Yeah. So, man, there's a lot of things in the news that I'm just avoiding right now because I think it's just kind of getting drilled into your head on repeat about a lot of things. And I'm just like, it's not something I'm going to spend a lot of time on. However, I am a little bit concerned about these crazy motherfuckers that is out here licking toilets and sneezing on groceries and stuff like that. Like, there's people getting locked up for terrorist threats right now because they are threatening to sneeze on people. That just seems like a dumbass reason to get locked up.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Like, what's your point? And I seen one thing, some TikTok or some Instagram person or something said that it was worth them to get the attention. I'm like, boy, I don't know what the hell is wrong with these people that's out here on that type of mission. It was worth getting the attention in the headlines because you was talking about you was gonna sneeze on Dr. Phil.
Wow.
I don't get it. I'm confused. But there's a whole lot of I think that whatever happens at the end of this, we need to really revise this idea of influencer. Because they're labeling this like it's a job that is still continuing through this through this plight that's going on in the world. Like the influencers are continuing to do what they do. Like, the fuck does that mean? What do they do in the first place? Like, I don't understand this. This doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So I don't know. Thoughts on that? Well, Gen Zers and TikTok people getting federal offenses put on them because they're licking toilet bowls on the internet. One of them actually caught the Big Rona from it too.
Yeah, you
got the Big Rona, yeah.
See. Oh, and AI, I'm sorry, man. I don't know if I introduced Big versus Lil Rona for you the right way. So Big Rona is when you really got it. Like, it's going down. You in like New York or like Seattle or something, and it's like you really truly got the Rona, and now it's a problem for you. But the Lil Rona is when you got that sickness that some Robitussin might be able to cure, but you think you got the Rona.
I got you.
Like, the people that went and bought all the toilet paper, they got the Lil Rona. They don't got the real Rona. They got the Lil Rona, and they just thought that was going to have something to do with it. But, like, Kevin Durant and, like, these cats, they got Big Rona. They got the real thing.
Okay, I got
it. As I reference this throughout the rest of the show, that's the difference between the Big and the Lil Rona. When you feel like you got the Rona and when you really got the Rona.
And then, mentioning people that have the Rona, that's you see Scarface and Slim Thugger, both got it.
Yeah. And Doris Day.
Oh, damn!
Wow.
Doris Burke, not Doris Day. I'm sorry, Doris Burke.
Doris Burke. I was like Doris.
From the NBA. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's going down in H Town, man.
It's Houston, man. Because all these people. Because isn't Doris Burke in Houston too?
I don't know.
Let's find out. Let's see here.
I know she's always, you know, there and everything.
That's because they show way too many James Harden games. That's probably what that's about. But
let's see here.
But toilet liquors, that's taking a Lil Rona situation and turning it into a Big Rona situation. And then on top of that, there's just a plethora of other diseases that's going to play into as well.
Yeah, it's just dumb. Like, sit down.
Like, I'm really confused by the fact that we in a place right now where we got people that is doing bullshit like that just for, you know, just to try to get some shine. Like, is it worth it? Is that 115 degree fever worth it? I don't get it, man. That's not a good idea to me.
Yeah, I think
people have been getting bad too. Like, this, no, I'm just saying, like, what I've seen from people, even if they get over it, it ain't nothing you just want to get. It ain't no quick sniffles and stuff.
It's really hitting you, dog. Don't want it. I'm good. But listen, this is worse than the flu. And here's, you know what, the thing that whose images has gotten improved the most through this shit is the flu. But the flu fucking sucks. There's nothing good about the flu. But we're like, this is 10 times worse? No, thank you. I'm good. I'll pass, bro. Yeah, I will stay in the house until July. I don't care.
If you know anybody in the health industry, man, I mean, it's the media is not really giving us what they're seeing. You know, it's like kind of like if you were in Ferguson when Ferguson was happening, right?
Right.
And everybody was calling you like, hey, I heard that this is, and you're like, no, that's not really how it is. It's like this, but I am seeing them, you know what I'm saying? So if you know anybody in the health industry and they're like really telling you what's going on, it's real. I think I made a post on that today, man. This stuff is real, bro. Like, it's real. I mean, I'm not personally like terrified or anything, but you know, like the reality that it could be in my neighborhood is like true. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
yeah. Like, so I had to go to Walgreens yesterday briefly because my mother decided to go and do something for some reason and her car messed up on her. So she called me to come pick her up. And I was like, you are not going into Walgreens at 5 o'clock at night. You are over 60 years old. You're just not doing that. However, I got in there and I was like, let me just grab these things real quick. And never in my life have I been around more and looked at things and been like, oh shit, it's going down in here. Like somebody coughed off in the distance and I zoomed in on that shit like I was Spider-Man. Like, That shit, when that lady started coughing, I looked across that Walgreens like the Matrix. Everything slowed down. I looked, I was like, oh shit, that could be the Big Rona. But I was in a Lil Rona situation and I didn't have to get the Big Rona. But here we are. I hope that that lady coughing 15 feet away from me didn't put me at risk. However, I'm looking at it like it's the Lil Rona, because she coughed, her coughing in the same room as me could very well have gotten me sick. I hate that. I hate everything right now.
And I mean, it's kind of crazy though, right? Like,
right. It's insane. So, all right, man, let's move into a couple of our main topics, man, before we get
Before I mentioned the Walgreens, man, I went to like 5 Walgreens yesterday trying to find a thermometer for my grandmother, man. And, man, it was cats out on, like, I was on the north side in part of Central West End. Cats was out kicking it. Like, they was posted up, selling dime bags, everything. Like it was nothing.
How's that industry doing right now?
That's a good question. It could be going, I guess if you're delivering, you straight.
Yeah, like I say, like I can see Sir Smoke-A-Lot doing well, but like the cats from like the Barksdales might be having a
big yeah. If you selling that hard shit, it's some problems for you. You ain't serving no fiend on no delivery cycle.
But you know what? The 2 times I've had to go outside in the last week, man, which is the craziest shit I've ever said in my life. I haven't seen hardly any police. Like, I feel like they like, well, ain't nobody outside, ain't nothing going on. So I ain't going out there either.
Oh, so you said they not gonna do nothing.
I know a couple of cops and they like, man, I'm not touching these people. It ain't happening. I'm good. But what do y'all think it's gonna take for black folks to be like, oh shit?
It's gonna take for Grandma Lucille, man.
So you think it's a case by case? We don't have like one. We don't have like one thing that can happen.
I mean, so you have to look at it like this, right? Like NBA players, like Donovan Mitchell, and you know these other guys have gotten it. Scarface, Slim Thug. I mean, even some of our elected officials, right, have gotten this, and it's still not quite real, like. Depending on who you're talking to, like if you're talking to, you know, bougie conspiracy brother,
yeah,
then it'll come down to, you know, well, you know, I mean, this still not really that bad because more people die each day by gunshots, uh-huh. and it's like
corporate. That's also a corporate hotel.
Yeah, it is absolutely right. So when you really, you know, look at it by the numbers and in that aspect of how what is it going to take for people to understand it. Like I said, the reality that it's in my neighborhood is probably a lot closer than I think, right? But even still, you know, like mom, grandma, okay, you know, sis is all right. You know, I don't know somebody personally, but I know somebody that knows somebody personally, right? Like on that tip that they're like, yeah, this person's not in good shape. And it's like, man. But even still, like, if that person were to perish, like, how does that really influence me in my everyday, right? It's not really going to do that. So when I'm looking at it, and like I say, it's going to take for Grandma Lucille for me to know that I was at the Marquee eating chicken on 314 day. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I went to go visit Grandma, you know, and Mom's the following day or day after, a week after or whatever. And now they not in good shape, and I'm the host of the virus. You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah.
now it's like, oh snap, y'all, we need to chill, because I mean, man, like my guys was trying to get me to go out with them, bro. Like I think, and you know, I'm not gonna sit here and play righteous. I've left the crib on a couple of occasions, probably under circumstances that I shouldn't have to. And every time I get back to the crib, I'm like, man, is that my throat itching? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, then you got to come back in the house, you know, and you got family, friends. I have a child, you know, things like that. So it's like, man, you know what? Let's just take this time, sit it on down, because you don't want it to be you, your lady, your grandmother, your mother, your grandfather, your cousins, sisters, brothers, whatever the case may be. And I think that it really, I honestly feel, it's like the violence that goes down the streets every day, man. Like, you know, we know, we turn on news and we hear, you know, 17-year-old gunned down, da-da-da. But what is that 17-year-old your son? You know what I'm saying? Like, then it's all this violence got to stop, y'all. We got to do something about it, you know? So it's same principle, man. I think that's when it really becomes real, when it's in your face.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's never gonna, I don't think it, unless it's like massive, where we gonna have like some Return to Thunderdome shit where it's massive graves just sitting out there. That's the only time people gonna take it seriously.
The only place they're doing that right now is Iraq. They're just throwing cats in the ground out there.
Oh, yeah, until there's a whole bunch of people where there's people's bodies lined up in your neighborhood, like, and they just torching them or some shit. That's when, they, you know, they're like, oh, man, this is real.
That might be a normal day for some parts of St. Louis, so I don't know how that's going.
They might be like, man, that ain't nothing, no, man. We actually, and I wonder this, is crime went down because of all this? Like, how much has the crime dipped? Or are we in a situation like Amsterdam on The Wire where they just letting shit go?
They kind of said they are just letting some shit go. They not arresting people. Like the grocery delivery dude that came back to the chick's crib and tried to get some ass last night. Yeah, like he got locked up.
Where was that at?
Oh, that Maplewood. Yeah, that was St. Louis, bro.
That was in Maplewood?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Instacart driver.
Dude dropped off something, then brought something back later like he had left it, trying to case the joint and see if she had a dude there. Found out she didn't, and then he was standing over her in the night trying to get some ass.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah. 100%, like, over the top predator shit.
Oh, wow.
He was a young dude, too, like 21, 22.
Ooh. I wonder, this is something else that's even thrown in there. Are these delivery services, your Ubers and all that, are they going to have to do, like, full criminal checks before they even let these people do their services? Are we going to get to a point of that?
I would imagine so. I mean, it's a liability issue, if not, so.
Because I'm assuming that that woman could sue whatever company that was, Grubhub or whoever, that brought the food.
I think it was like Instacart or something like that.
Yeah, it was Instacart.
Yeah. Which is why I always get the groceries when they come to the door from Instacart.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
I'd be like, nah, bro, don't even be taking a look here. I don't even want you handing off no bags of my lady. Come back in here, you're gonna be looking for some prison love, and I got something for you.
That's a prison love. What if he's looking for it too, though, man? Like, I came back for you.
hey, if that's the fight that I'm having, you. That's the fight that we having.
Then he's like, no, my girl at work, man. You need to roll out. No, I ain't come back for her.
That was telling the same thing. Look, when you look in my eyes, you looking into the eyes of death, nigga.
I'm looking for light skinned conspiracy brother.
Well, my work don't live here.
Oh, man.
But I'll tell y'all this. I'm about to have a quarantine birthday. That's about to be a whole different.
Because your birthday's coming up.
My birthday on Sunday. I'm having a quarantine birthday, though.
So you doing like a Zoom thing or something? Or?
I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I ain't never done this before. I might just wake up and go outside and start drinking. I think that's the only day of the year where I can do really what I want to do. So only problem is that, you know, I moved in with my lady and I don't have my full stock of man alcohol here, though. So I might be getting up in the morning and drinking that bullshit.
Oh, you might be getting up drinking a Smirnoff Ice.
Oh, if we had that, I'd have smashed them already.
Oh, so you said it's even worse than that in the crib.
Oh, bro, it's like Chardonnay and like white Zinfandel.
Yikes. I'm going to
be in this thing drunk as fuck with a lisp.
Oh, man.
So, real quick, man, I wanted to go. I know you want to talk about this more on your show, but just for people, I know people have been looking to hear about this copyright thing with the D-Nice DJing issue that's been popping up. This, you don't have to go into it too much. I know you're gonna dive into it on you guys' show, but still wanted to kind of, you know, jump into that a little bit.
Yeah. So I actually the first night that the stream went up with D-Nice, and shout out to DJ D-Nice.
Yeah, he's been killing.
I've come across him only one time ever in life. We're not friends or anything, but you know, shout out to him. And I was like, man, how is dude doing a 9-hour party and not being flagged? Like, I was really curious. Like, how is this working?
Was it because he was mixing, not doing the whole songs?
So, I'm gonna base this on a couple of theories or ideas. And I want to first and foremost just say how I got here. So, back in 2016 and 2017, like with the emergence of like Facebook Live and being able to live stream and things of that nature, I kind of took advantage of it back then. And I think I got in maybe 3 good weeks of doing some Facebook, you know, mixes and things of that nature. And that third week, they shut me down. And they sent me an email. And they were basically like, hey, buddy, you know, due to copyright, X, Y, Z. You know, they start talking about fair use and all these other things. Long story short, they basically, you know, also told me in the same email, like, hey, you know, we have sophisticated software that basically just scans all of our social media platforms daily. And it's like, think of Shazam on Facebook, right? But it's strictly to pick up, you know, copyrighted material. So I'm talking about movies, music, even like a speech or something like that, a famous speech, like Star Spangled Banner, which that's a public use thing. But, you know, just think of Shazam for Facebook or Instagram, right? They have software that does that all the time. It strictly scans those platforms for that. And if anything comes up flagged, they'll flag it, they'll tag it, and then they'll pull it down, and then they'll send you an email. And if you continue to violate, you know, X amount of times, they'll suspend your account. So the first time to suspend your account will be for like maybe 2 to 3 days. Then they'll suspend it for 2 weeks. Well, they won't suspend your account, but they'll suspend your ability to live stream or whatever the case may be. Then they'll suspend it for 2 weeks. If you continue, I don't know what happens after that because I'm not, you know, ballsy enough to chance it. So
black. You ain't rolled them dice yet.
Right. So I'm sitting here wondering, like, how is this dude doing this? And I figured out a couple of my mistakes, and I'm not going to call them mistakes, but I figured out how kind of people sort of beat the system, right? I know sound pretty well, so I can pretty much set up, you know, a live stream for video or audio or whatever the case may be pretty simply and have it running into a computer and a board and all this other stuff. So what I was doing was I had a direct line coming into the actual platform. So I had a direct line coming out of my mixer into Facebook. So that's going to give you the clearest, cleanest audio sound. So, you know, so what I'm saying?
He wasn't going directly into Facebook. He's recording it through his phone or through his tablet to his live, so it's not clear.
Yeah. So they can't pick up on it as well because he's running a speaker in the background and then the phone or the whatever he has is picking up that, you know. I was going direct in, like I'm talking about line out, boom, and we jamming, right? Another thing is, depending on the year the music was made, that also influences whether or not you get flagged as well. So a lot of the older songs, and I mean older anywhere from 60s, 70s, 80s, even into the early 90s, a lot of that music is not flagged, or not flagged, how can I say this? It's not
in the algorithm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. It's not going to be in the algorithm. So if you're playing, you know, La Shmoove and stuff like that, you know, like these songs are not, you know, like I said, in the algorithm. So it's not going to pick these up. So what's happening now is I think that DJ D Nice had something good going, and I think he got so much attention that Facebook and record labels, and I'll touch on the record labels in a minute too, started kind of getting word. So what happened was back in around 2007, 2008, really with the emergence of Soulja Boy, streaming became the new kind of medium for you know, music, right? And it significantly changed the industry as we know it. Because what was happening was essentially you would have, hang tight, gents, I'm sorry. Pause real quick.
Yep.
So essentially what you had happening was the music industry as we know it, their entire spectrum of, or not even spectrum, but their entire, you know, platform of sales change. Remember, you used to get hype back in the day and go into Street Side Records or Vintage Vinyl or wherever, mm-hmm. and get that CD. We were talking about Mercedes earlier, right? With the emergence of streaming, that was no longer a reality. So the music industry had to figure out how can they monetize on all of these streaming platforms and products, right? So they said, you know what? We are going to make radio and SoundCloud and Facebook and whoever else, they're going to have to start paying us in order to use our intellectual property. So what happens is Facebook, SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Music, whatever the case, they have licenses and they have agreements. And these record labels and artists make a lot of money in some instances. There's not very many that make a lot of money, but a lot of money in some instances in order to carry this music. And if this music is being used across one of those platforms, the record label and the artist wants their money. And I totally respect it. I totally respect it because I understand the game. The part that I'm not gonna say I don't agree with, but the part that kind of puts, you know, people like me or DJ D Nice into kind of this pigeonhole is that we've used these things to essentially make a living, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you have the small timers, because, you know, I mean, there's not a lot of DJs like DJ D Nice that live in, you know, apartments in loft style in downtown DC or wherever he's from.
He's in LA.
Okay, so LA. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not a lot of DJs out here like that, right? That's kind of the game of the 1%, right? You know the famous DJs because you know them. The rest of us are kind of the 99%, right? We're getting by. We probably are working day jobs, or we have, you know, started our own businesses outside of, you know, music and things of that nature in order for us to, you know, be able to support our families, whatever the case may be. But I think that what's going to eventually happen, or what's going to have to happen, like every other industry, I think that DJs or musicians or whoever are going to have to unionize and make a fair platform for us to be able to deliver these things over Facebook, Spotify, Instagram, whatever the case may be, so that we are able to, you know, capitalize as well. Because, I mean, you know, the truth of the matter is, without us, right, nobody's, you can go on your phone and listen to Drake, but nobody's going to the club and plugging up to the aux, you know, and they're like, hey, can you get on that Drake real quick, play that Views, like, that's just right, not, I mean, how it's,
my question
down.
Is like, so why aren't, do record labels come out to people that play it in clubs? Because, I mean, that might as well be what the same thing is.
So I'll answer that question. I'll get to it kind of roundabout. In 2016 or 17, one of the major publishing houses reached out to me. And if you don't know what a publishing house is, that's how artists are paid and producers. So you're looking at your BMIs, your ASCAPs, and, you know, entities of that nature, right? So I won't name this entity, but one of them reached out to me in about late 2016, early 2017. They said, hey, we know you're a DJ, da 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 da. We know you're kind of well-versed. They basically were going to pay me to walk into the club and tell DJs, like, hey, if you don't got a license, you can't spin this music.
Wow, they was basically going to get people just to be, like, snitches? Like, basically, like, it's like, catch me if you can?
Yeah.
When they changed homeboy into working for the feds?
Yeah. Like, they were gonna, I mean, it was an official job, like, title, everything. They sent me the job description, and they reached out to me, like, hey, this is what we're looking for. We know that you're a DJ, like, and I had never come across these people in my life.
Yo, they was trying to turn you into the Men in Black.
Yeah. Really, you know, because technically, as a DJ, even a musician, you're supposed to be licensed to perform other people's work. But nobody does it. Cause like I said, you know, we're mom and pop shop stops, right? We don't have hundreds or and sometimes in certain cases, thousands of dollars, because what they gauge it on is the crowd or the venues that you perform in. So, you know, I've performed anywhere from small, you know, very small birthday parties in backyards to huge festivals. So, you know, I don't have money to pay for a license if I'm going to,
so are these bigger DJs paying for licensing though? So like a D Nice or a Kid Capri or Jazzy Jeff, they pay for licensing when they do this stuff, when they're doing these big things?
I can't say yes or no on that because I don't know the answer, but I would imagine if they are on certain platforms, that they have some type of legal arrangements or something like that going to protect themselves.
Is that only a U.S. thing though? So if I'm Jazzy Jeff and I'm over in Europe, do I got to pay for a license in Europe, or is it a different thing? Or
that's a good question, and I honestly don't know the answer to it.
Copyright would carry over though, because I mean they've got international entities for those same for those same music outlets. I mean, yeah. It's not like because music is made in America, you can spin it however you want in the UK or in Canada.
I mean, that happened with Milli Vanilli.
Milli Vanilli changed the way a lot of shit got done, too.
Yeah, it's true, too.
You don't trust Brothers with Braids because of them still.
Well, yeah. I don't trust nobody over 25 with braids.
Yeah. No. I think that eventually what will probably have to happen is there will have to be some type of clearinghouse or some kind of subscription house for DJs for us to solely go on and, you know, license and have kind of, because like I said, this stuff, you're talking about these things, it costs a lot of money, you know, to be licensed, and then you have to renew the license, and, you know, the people can't do that, you know. So I think that that's probably what's going to end up. Or either they're going to start charging, you know, subscriptions on Facebook, Instagram, SoundCloud, or whatever for DJs or whatever the case may be, so that these record labels are getting paid. I mean, because, you know, even radio stations have to pay the labels. And a lot of people don't know that. Like, they don't just hand you the music and say, here, we know you got it popping. And, you know, Big Brother at corporate office has to pay the record labels in order to use their music. So.
Damn. They're just trying to get money any way they can, boy.
So, yeah. With all that being in play, man, like, let's just talk about, like, from, like, the artistry standpoint of what, you know, D-Nice did. Like, that's, like, a crazy cultural moment, though, right? Like, using that platform, you just think, like, how does that happen? Like, right guy, right place? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the math behind how he was able to be able to pull that off?
So DJ D-Nice has a pretty decent following. You know, I want to say he's like, has some type of contract or something with the NBA, and he does a lot of their stuff. I may be wrong there.
You know, he's big, man. He's big. He's a big deal. I think he has a contract with the Essence Fest. I know that.
Yeah, he does do Essence. Year. I know that for sure. Yeah. And he also did the White House. He did the Obamas, their events and stuff. So, I mean, he's just one of those guys they can't miss, right?
And his if anybody knows his story is a crazy story of what he went through in his life too.
Yeah,
He got Scott LaRock killed. In theory, basically fell out with his group BDP because he's from Boogie Down Productions. Mm-hmm. He basically goes from that because then KRS-One was like, after a while, he was like, "Shit, I'm gonna be solo. Ain't no Scott LaRock here." And Scott LaRock brought on D-Nice, but D-Nice D-Nice got him killed by accident. It was basically D-Nice got into it with another dude over a girl, and Scott LaRock was trying to take him over to squash it. Those dudes would start shooting at them, and Scott LaRock got shot in the head.
Yeah.
Scott LaRock was trying to peacemake it, like, yo, no, we finna go over there and peace this out. Y'all shouldn't be fighting over no girl. Let's get it. Let's figure it out. So after that, KRS-One keeps BDP going for a while, but then he's like, fuck it, I'm gonna go solo and do my own thing. D-Nice is assed out. He was sleeping on couches and all kind of crazy stuff in his life, man. And he ended up getting into some photography and picking back up DJing over time and really kind of reflipped his life and got it back to where it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And small enough that he was married to Melinda Williams for a while, too.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Melinda White. He was married to her for a while.
That's he had, I mean, his resume is pretty heavy. You know, I think he was working with Sheila E. at one point in time. Yep. And like a lot of other people. So, I mean, he's one of those guys. I mean, he's kind of a golden child, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you have individuals like that, especially, you know, they have a decent following, and then, you know, everybody's stuck in the house, and then here's this DJ like, oh, yeah, you know, people are familiar with, oh, he's the guy that rocked with the Obamas, or he did this, or he was down with Sheila E. People are going to, you know, log in and tune in. And I think is he with Rock Nation as well? I want to say he's affiliated with them in some way, shape, or form.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, so, you know, when you have individuals like that, people are going to tune in. And I think he just had the perfect storm going. Shout out to Keenan over at Jack Daniels. I know that Jack Daniels ended up sponsoring one of his mixes. I think the day after the big one, Jack Daniels ended up sponsoring him the mix the next day. And I think they just kind of went. So he's one of those guys, man, perfect storm, bro. Like, I fully believe in time, man. I think that, you know, there's if somebody cuts off, you know, what's for you in one moment, they can't stop the next, because what's for you is for you, you know. And I think it was just his moment, man.
That's fine,
I mean,
man.
Dude's got over a million. He's got, like, 2 million followers now. Like, yeah. Something crazy like that. Like,
and he was at 500,000 before he started.
Yeah, 2 million followers, man.
Like, I think he was also rocking Michelle Obama's voter registration thing on the other side.
Yeah, he was one of the nights. Yeah, he was. He was.
Like, I mean, so, like, what do you think, man? Like, as a DJ, I know that if you're going to talk about this on commentary, please don't give me all the dope on it right now, but I'd just like to kind of get your thoughts on it. Like, there's been a lot of people that, of course, have been kind of, like, emulating that, not necessarily looking – I mean, I think in some cases probably trying to do the same thing he did. Obviously, you're not going to have the same branch out, but also it's kind of a way to, you know, raise that profile while people are looking for that, but also just kind of giving people an outlet to be able to do what they want to do and also be able to perform kind of in that same venue, especially at a time when we've lost so many other performance arts, you know, in so many different ways. But, like, how do you feel about, you know, what that could potentially do for some DJs right now if they go about it the right way?
I think that, you know, the possibilities are endless, man. Anytime you have – so I have a guy that works for a huge advertiser in the U.S., and he broke things down to me really simply one time, and he said, you know, Alan, you have to think of life like this, right? Years ago, in order to be known, be seen, be heard, you had to know somebody that knew somebody, and you had to have a platform because you couldn't distribute it yourself, right? So you had to go to Def Jam, you had to go to Arista, you had to go to, you know, Universal or whatever the case may be. We walk around with cell phones in our hands every day, in our pockets, whatever the case may be, and they open us up to an entire world, right? And I think that it all comes down to you, you know, like you said, doing it the right way. I'm trying to think of how to word this because I really don't give a damn if I offend anybody, but just don't overdo it. Be authentically you. If you're going to, you know, take that opportunity and say, hey, right now, you know, people are looking at me, I think it's becoming way too oversaturated now because everybody's getting the same idea because now everybody wants to be D-Nice. Well, D-Nice had 100,000 people in one night. I can do that too. Well, no, you can't.
No, you're not. Because that's the most ever in, like, this is the most ever in live history.
Yeah, like, it's not going to happen, right? So that's not to say it can happen for somebody, but now you look like the imitator, right? Because he did it. Now he's like, oh, well, I need to do it too, you know? And I know a couple of, you know, cats from where we're from, St. Louis, that are, you know, out here doing it. And they're getting some decent lives, 2,000 and 3,000 people. And, you know, I think that's an accomplishment within itself because, I mean, there's not a club here that can fit that many people. So, you know, for you to go live and have 2,000 or 3,000 people, probably from the crib, you know, I think that that's awesome. But again, I think you need to do it and be authentically you because what happens when the camera turns off? Now what's the plan, right? What are you going to do? Because it's a formula. And I said, like I said, I think D-Nice just had that formula because all eyes were on him. So he's getting the sponsorships. He was getting, you know, other people. His mix basically blew up word of mouth. I remember the first night he went on, I was seeing people on my timeline like, yo, D-Nice is killing it on IG and they putting his handle up like you need to get over here. So think about how many people did that to get to, I mean, 100,000 people is a lot of people. We can't knock that.
Hell no.
So crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Like he did that in one day on a live, you know, like to answer the question, you know, if you were going to, you know, put yourself in that moment and do what you were doing, I think that you should just be authentically you and just have the plan. I think that it definitely opens up the arena for a lot of different things. I'm going to give you all another theory that I have, which is actually happening now. So it's not a theory anymore. But I remember when I was with my previous radio station, I was telling one of my guys over there, I was like, bro, I honestly think that Spotify and a couple of these other platforms are going to start reaching out to DJs that have followings and signing them and giving them their own channel to stream on. So fast forward to the end of last year, my guy, Chaka Zulu, who's Ludacris's manager, he actually got hired over at Spotify. And that was one of his goals. And he started doing so. So I think that, you know, I'm not going to, you know, condemn radio, but I think that, you know, radio is kind of on its way out because people are starting to develop their own identities and they're going to have their own platforms that they can monetize in order to advance.
Well, it's happening in every medium, though, right? I mean, you know, my background being in sports and things like that, you know, I mean, from the time that I spent in radio, I looked at it and I said, oh, man, I can do most of this myself. But meanwhile, we're cutting hella people into the pie here, you know, and other people are making money from what other people are doing. When if you just really – now, granted, you got to go about it a little bit longer way anytime you take somebody else's platform to go do it. But you can make so much more for yourself along the way by not signing those, you know, little bitty contracts that you sign to get started and do things. You know, I always tell people, I say, hey, if you're going to do something like that, and people ask me about sports or about anything like that, I say, man, it can be an amazing paid internship, but don't try to make your whole career be based going through that route, because you're going to give a lot of money away in this day and age where you can do it for yourself.
Absolutely. Okay.
You know, so I mean,
and radio had opportunity to radio, just like record labels had opportunity to get ahead of all this shit, but they were too stubborn with it. You got to think, remember, they had an opportunity to buy Napster and MP3s, all that streaming shit back in the early 2000s to take it over and just buy it, and they would have had everything. Same thing with radio, they should have been already having side podcasts that were getting sponsored up under their other state, under other things that had nothing to do with the radio. They were so scared of bringing stuff away. You could have a whole other show. You could have had, you know, the scenario show that was just on podcast base. That was it. That was up under your umbrella, up under Hot 104 or whatever platform. And you sell ads just for that. And you would have cornered the whole market. But they were so scared about taking stuff away from the main ship that they didn't understand what was happening.
Well, they don't know. And I don't. I think that a lot of people that are making those decisions, this is why I give so much props to what to what Spotify is doing, you know, the things that they're doing, like what you're talking about there, like what they did by buying The Ringer, you know, and just basically buying an entire podcast network and having that content be there, you know, that's the right way to go. That's the way that the forward working places are going to go towards having and growing out their platforms. And it's going to be really interesting to me to kind of bring that whole thing full circle to see who comes out of this time right now that we're in, where people are really condensed into one area and there's so much more access to the stuff that's out there. Who's going to come out of this and who's going to win? You know what I mean? Like, who's going to come out of this time right now and end up being somebody that used this time while we're down as a world and into this space here and really find a way to create an avenue for themselves that wouldn't have happened while people were so distracted by so many other things?
Yes, I 110% agree with that, man. And you're going to, I mean, work ethic is going to play its ass off in this time, man. I mean, as bottled up as we are in the house right now, we still have the world at our fingertips. You know what I'm saying? So it's
more eyes than ever, man, for real.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. We'll see where that goes. So, well, speaking about being bottled up in the crib and taking advantage of it, there's a couple of people that are looking to do that in a couple of ways. And there's going to be a couple of scenarios that we have right now that are gonna play out because of where we're at. So I was looking this up earlier this week, and a lot of people are predicting that divorces are gonna shoot through the roof as soon as we're able to get back out the house, because there's a whole lot of people that are hanging out on top of people that they ain't got along with in a real long time, and now they gotta figure out a way to do it.
And that's real tough.
So, I mean, and nobody's exempt. Like, when I looked at this, and Daryl, I shot you this story because I just immediately was like, all right, this is a cat that's got a forward outlook on it. Jeremy Renner of Avengers fame, Hawkeye from Avengers, is trying to get his child support pulled back during this time because he's unable to work.
Now, there's an addendum to add to this that just popped up. You can't get your refund check from the government for the corona if you back in child support. To add that to that. You can't get your corona check if you're in arrears for child support.
Oh snap.
You can't get your...
Yo.
That's breaking news.
Black people.
That is breaking news.
Wow.
If you're in the rear as a child support, you cannot get your corona check.
Oh, word.
Oh, that just blew somebody's day.
Oh, somebody, that cancels out all them guns and bullets that people bought, they outside with them now. They outside upset time, now, man.
Time to hit the block.
Well, no, I 100% think that all this stuff is, like, everything is just going to change, man. Like, all... like everything is going to, because you gotta think about athletes wise, they ain't never at the crib like that. That's why most of them get divorced a lot when they get out the league, because they like, well, dude, I don't even know this chick for real. I've been with her 12 years, but I only be home for 3 months. And that's a small little vacation. It'd be like, even if you're getting on my nerves, I'm like, that's cool though. Training camp start in August. Like, I'm not, all right, you tripping. Training camp starting in August.
One thing that social media has done is it's made brothers have to be far more acrobatic in managing these multiple families. That was so popular for generations of people, like generations on top of it. Everybody been at that funeral and somebody walked in and you've been like, oh shit. Like, yeah. that ain't, these two worlds ain't supposed to be coming together, but I guess we're gonna do this on the way out.
Or you hear about when somebody dies and then somebody mama like, you can't invite Tracy. I thought that was his daddy friend. No, she can't come. Even though he lived with Tracy, though, for like the last 5 years of his life.
Yeah, you living that Willie Banks, that Ernie Banks life.
Go into the Ernie Banks life for people that don't know.
The Ernie Banks situation was crazy. So Ernie Banks, you know, Hall of Fame shortstop for the Chicago Cubs, greatest Cub of all time. But Ernie Banks, the last few years of his life, he was living with the help that was helping out around the crib, and his family didn't like no parts of that. They didn't like that at all. So so Ernie ended up leaving things to the help at the end, and the family was hot beyond, like, couldn't even talk about it. But she got in at the right time and leveraged her position, and then she showed up at the funeral as the big winner.
Yeah, she won. She won.
So like, yeah, you got that going on, but that's a crazy turn in events right there. That's a wild. See, this is the thing also. We get this $1,200 check or whatever it is, however much you make is the difference. See, somebody pointed this out earlier, and I said, boy, this is the right time to talk about this. Is this reparations money that's now being forced to be put into the community?
Not if it's just for not black people.
No, but I'm saying, though, I don't want to hear no more that we can't do anything.
Oh, yeah.
Anything's been proven. Reparations could have been sent out long ago.
Yeah.
But my question being, though, do we accept $1,200 as reparations, or would brothers still be like, nah, man, this ain't enough?
That ain't enough.
Exactly. So does it count if we already say it ain't enough? Because we'd be wanting a whole lot more than this.
We looking for 40 acres and a mule, so you know, like
you can just give me the old school that you taught that you ain't tear down. Like, just give me some eminent domain property. You ain't gotta give me no check. Give me something that I can give me something that I can flip.
Yeah.
That's what I'm about. So then this ruling, then this is just this is allowance. This isn't reparations. I just want to see where we stand.
Yeah, this is definitely not.
And don't you have to pay this back, kind of basically too, within your taxes or something like that as well?
I'm 100% sure they're gonna have this count as income. 100% sure.
Yeah, I was wondering that as well.
They're gonna send it to you on a 1099, I bet.
Uncle Sam won his.
And as a freelance writer for Jesus, 8 years now, that 1099 come, and that 1099 cut into that return mightily. So be careful when you sign up for that money. Make sure you know whether the piper gonna come looking for his end eventually or not.
Yeah,
oh, he will.
A couple other things to hit, man. Like, despite the fact that we have been on lockdown, and we have been, well, allegedly been on lockdown, supposed to be on lockdown. Let's put it this way. I look at it this way. Like, the streetlights been on for a week, but people still ain't been coming home. But there's been some brothers that have still found a way to get jammed up both in and out the house. So let's start with the brother here who did manage to get himself jammed up in the house. And that's one Jamal Murray of the Denver Nuggets.
So he gets caught on IG story putting up a situation of him getting fellatio by his girlfriend. It goes up. It's a 15-second video, and she's giving them oral sex. And it's all out there. He supposedly got hacked, and he took it down after he got hacked. And they're trying to sue the cloud or something like that, I guess, for having someone a better ability to break into your thing and put it on your IG. So y'all think he really put this up or no accident? Like he was trying to load something else
about he it was, put it up.
You think I'm talking about he put up on accident trying to load up him dribbling saying I'm still training and hit the wrong foul.
That I mean, that's a possibility. I think that he's fully aware of how it got there, though. I mean, it leaked. It's an easy, you know, scapegoat. Somebody hacked us. How many people have been hacked? You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody that went through something crazy.
Yeah, I mean, how many people have really been hacked, though? How many people you guys really believe have been actually hacked in situations like this?
I mean, it's not hard. That's the thing. It's not hard to do, but when these situations like this pop off and I got hacked, I mean, because it's hacked, like I gave my girl my phone and she posted it, or one of my friends or cousins had my phone and posted it, or it's hacked, somebody actually went through the network and the infrastructure and got through. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, there was that whole thing with, like, the fappening or whatever that was, where they just straight went and looked for people and went and got into their stuff. Now, that's a focused hack in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Right, like when all that stuff dropped with like with Megan Good and Jill Scott and all them.
Yeah, like they caught like all these celebrities in like a week or something like that. Like that was somebody that was really out there going after it, you know what I'm saying? But like for the most part, bro, you ain't got hacked, man. You just got hit the wrong button at the wrong time. It's all good, yeah. Man. Let it ride. You know what I'm saying?
Does this hurt? I mean, I guess Jamal Murray, nobody really cares that much, right? I mean,
I would never Nuggets. He's on my fantasy team if we were still playing.
Oh,
which by the way, my season got ended when I was on an 11-week winning streak. I don't know how that's going to get worked out. And I had just got Steph Curry back before we gave him the Lil Rona, and he ended up being all right. That's bullshit.
And then somebody else that getting caught outside the streets is somebody I'm done with for sure.
Well, a professional at anything. John Jones, who you're referring to here for UFC light heavyweight champion, arguably the greatest fighter in the history of mixed martial arts, once again was caught out in these streets wilding. He got arrested on 4 charges, including an aggravated DWI and the negligent use of a firearm on the early morning on Thursday. Bro, we're on a national quarantine damn near, and you got a DWI?
And my thing is, he must have been wild and driving because the cop probably was like, "Man, I'm gonna let you live and get home, and this don't be swerving." Oh wow, you're doing that? like he's probably watching like, "Oh wow, we just gonna go ride the other lane." Okay.
Like, you know, TMZ got the whole body cam of him and everything. Dude said, now he said the same thing that I feel like a bunch of brothers gonna get caught up on though. Man, I got stir crazy.
So did he go somewhere to drink, or was he drunk and left the crib driving somewhere?
Yes.
That's.
So he said he's going stir crazy. He had been drinking at the crib, it sounds like, and it sounds like he got in the whip after that. You know what I'm saying? So here's what he said. I got stir crazy. I got pulled over just being nice to the homeless people. I literally got stir crazy. I wanted to have a drive. It was my first drive in 2 weeks, and I saw these homeless guys, and I was being nice to them, having a conversation with them, treating them like humans.
Jesus.
And then after that, immediately dude says, "Sir, if it's not too much, could you roll down the window?" So you just – listen, man, anytime you start explaining yourself, you fuck.
Yeah, you're done.
Like, use this as advice that if you're listening to this at any point you're listening to this, whether it's during the Big Rona times or the Lil Rona times, it's going to follow this. Like, listen, man, as soon as you start explaining yourself, you jammed up at that point. Like, me, at this age and this point in life and the experience that I've had, I just would rather just take the heat and then start explaining afterwards. Like, I'd rather apologize than explain at any point. But that's clearly not what John Jones had on his mind. So, yet again.
No, I think he's got popped with coke. Remember what was at the time he got caught with coke and drunk and then just jumped out the car and ran?
Yes, how could you forget that?
Like, and he got popped for PEDs. Did he get popped for PEDs too, or was it always cocaine?
Yes, it was PEDs as well.
So he's, man, I mean.
It could be argued, however, that cocaine is a PED.
I can see that.
Yeah.
It could be argued that cocaine is a PED. I wouldn't be against that. I've seen people do some amazing things on cocaine in the past.
I agree.
So that's what that's at. So I don't know, man. But that leads to the last thing I wanted to hit on today is that, listen, y'all, we got to be careful during these times, man, because these quarantines are going to hit the Black community, I think, a different way. All right?
Oh, no, we got This Week in Racism, too, man.
I want to do that on the way out the door. Okay. I want to do that on the way out the door because that's just a quick hit. I want to just take this one right now. Listen, y'all, this is just the beginning of this thing. You know, I know that April is some of the dates that it's been said. I'm one of those people that lives with a healthcare person, and I don't believe in that April date. I'd be very careful buying too far into those April dates. I think that was where we were at when we started. But the fact that we're not buying in is going to have things like this a little bit longer. So with that being said, we got to start realizing what could be the things that you're going to get to that point you're going to have to face and you're going to be ready to crack. But don't crack under the pressure of these things. So number one, first thing I want to point out is the more and more you look into that mirror and the less you start to recognize yourself because that lining is starting to go back to its natural positioning. And you're starting to kind of look like the so-so deaf cat a little bit. That's going to be a tough moment in time that you're going to have to face. But when you get there, don't be John Jones. Don't get stir crazy. Don't go in the streets and get treated like a Black man. This could potentially be the safest time for Black people in recent American history. All we got to do is stay at the house. This is a get out of jail free card. They even letting brothers out of prison right now because of the conditions of this coronavirus and them not wanting to have people too grouped together in some of these prisons. These are unprecedented times for Black people, but that don't let that thing like that barbershop trip that you just want to voyage out in the world to try to solve, don't let that be the thing that jam you up. Because apparently, like AI said earlier, these barbers is going a little stir crazy themselves too.
Yeah.
So don't let that be the thing that breaks you, brothers. Also, another thing that's out there, don't let this government get real angry and start flexing on you like they doing folks in LA right now. Daryl, you pointed out.
Yeah, they turned off all the utilities for any non-essential business in LA.
So string that together with the thing that we just said right there. Don't get your barber's lights cut out because you up in the barber shop. Because then you know they not going to be jumping and turning that shit back on day one. And I know that the only thing that I got on my list right now for whenever the first day is to head over to Rich Cuts and resume who I am as a person. Because I'm going to be in the streets wrapped up like the Invisible Man if I can't get a haircut as soon as this thing is over. Because I know enough to not try to give myself that Balrog lining. Because I'm also getting to that age where if you fuck that lining up too bad, it might not come back where it was at previously. You better be careful with them linings, because all them LeBron James jokes you done made gonna come back around on you when you looking like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the 1984 finals out here.
Hey, that's real though, man.
And one thing I want to get while we got AI here, who is a social media Hall of Famer, is another thing that I think is going to be a big impact on the Black community. And that's going to be the erosion of the social media community over the next few weeks. I think that right now people have been kind of good, sharing information, trying to uplift people. But if time has proven anything, it's that we don't get along too well for too long on social media. And I think that the first thing I've noticed where I see that things are going to go wrong is going to be this tell me about a time when, or the first time you saw me play this sport, or the first time you saw me do whatever, what did you think? Because cats going to start getting roasted in that shit in a second, and it's going to spill over into stuff where people breaking that quarantine to go to the crib, and we're going to have another rumble in, what's the spot out in California?
Temecula.
Yes, we're going to have rumbles in Temecula all over the street, and you're going to have a bunch of dusty-looking-ass Black dudes with no linings fighting in the streets over some social media shit.
Yeah, I'm currently getting roasted on one of mine right now, so.
But you did that on purpose. Because you did
self-deprecation.
Yo, I've never played football a day in my life. I'm like, yo, what did you think the first time you saw me play football? I weigh 150 pounds, bro.
Listen, I As soon as I saw people doing it, I was like, damn, we on day what? 5 of this and we already fishing for compliments? Like, come on, y'all, what the fuck we doing?
Oh man. OnlyFans is atrocious right now.
I tell you what, I got a couple that I'm gonna unleash strategically over the next week, and people are not gonna be happy with me because they're gonna know I'm going after them. Like, tell me what you thought the first time that I text you at 2 a.m.
I'm jumping on that one, bro. Not me, but I'm gonna share that.
You can have that one. Please take it. I was literally sitting over here earlier. What I don't ever need is a lot of time to plan my petty, because I've been over here. Architect, I have a whole Google Doc of petty Facebook posts that I'm ready to unleash once things start getting boring for me. I'm not there yet, but I'll get there eventually. And when I do, you're going to notice the difference in the tone of me on social medias.
Yeah, I'm not quite there yet either. I've been getting real loose lately, bro, but I'm trying to keep it cool because I kind of conduct who I am as a person in business there too.
And you're getting ready to start a podcast? Wrong time to try to get yourself together as a person.
I know, right?
Take it from me.
Oh, man. This is going to be crazy.
Hey, dude. All right, last up. This week of racism, brother. You go ahead and get it cracking, man. I know this one is – you're going to run a 4-4-40 in this one. I'm going to tell you about the first time I saw you run a 4-4-40 in this week of racism.
All right. Candace Owens is reported to have been the one that dropped dime on our man Andrew Gilliam.
The Andrew Gilliam situation is off the charts, OC. Like, we talked about that last week. AI, you up to date on the Andrew Gilliam situation, right?
Oh, yeah. That was pretty rough. I did see that, though.
That's next level rough. But, yeah, please, D, go ahead.
Andrew Gilliam, man, he really, like, so she basically got all the information from somebody inside of the Sheriff's Department. And they basically ran everything, and she pushed out all that. So now the feds are after her because she got inside information they were not trying to leak out.
So
the feds are on Candace Owens. The feds.
So where's the jam gonna come for this?
The feds. The you don't want the feds showing up. Period. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat.
Well, I mean, what's gonna? What do you think? I guess I'm asking you to predict the jam. Play the whole thing out so that we can. Do we have another Jussie Smollett situation coming?
Yeah, potentially.
Fantastic. We've needed one. I'm excited.
Yeah, another Jussie Smollett situation potentially with this also. Candace Owens has been notoriously about, like, yeah, I'm gonna jam up all these black people as well. And Akbar has got something to say about this.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Conspiracy Brother to the mix.
All right, how y'all brothers doing? This is Akbar X. If you look at the name Candace Owens, how many letters are in the name Candace?
I don't know. What, 7?
7. All right. And Owens has how many letters in it?
That'd be 5.
5.
That'd be 12, right? So it's 12. 12 times 2 is what?
24.
Kobe. There it is. Once again, sitting right there for you. And sitting right there for you, my brothers. Kobe Bryant. So definitely learn that part of it. Kobe Bryant. Once again, and white women. Is white women and Kobe.
Brother Akbar X, Conspiracy yes. Brother.
Yes.
Could I wanted to get your thoughts on the fact that this whole, the coronavirus and where it spread over the last week and kind of where things have been going with that Kobe could have potentially not been in the situation if this was moved up further. What are your thoughts on that? Like, what's your position there, sir?
I totally believe that. That is something, if Corona happened earlier, Kobe would still be alive. And that's literally Donald Trump's fault. And also Oprah Winfrey's fault, both of them at the same time. See, you didn't know about that, that was all a conspiracy to bring down the number 24 being Kobe Bryant. You see all this combined together, Oprah, Trump, Candace Owens, Kobe Bryant, 24 white women.
Oh, okay.
Denver, Colorado.
Okay, I see. I see where you're at now. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to join us, brother.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you, brother. All right, guys. So I guess at this point, I feel like the only thing that's left on the docket for us today that I definitely want to put out there, man, is that it's finally upon us, man. It's time for the launch. It's time for the commentary to really get rolling.
Yes, the commentary is rolling out. Commentary. Y'all coming, yes. They coming out. So yeah, this is gonna be, I'm interested to see how this all gonna go for y'all fellas. It's gonna be pretty dope, but seeing how this goes with you guys.
Yeah, we'll be back at you here next week. So be on the lookout. Myself, we're gonna try and get Rashad Isms back in here, man. If anybody sees him, tell him to call me. And my homie Brendan B. Harlem. So
You know we love Harlem, man. Shout out to Harlem. That's my homie.
So yo, man, let the folks know, man, just what to kind of, you know, expect from the commentary, man. What's gonna be the vibe, you know, where they're gonna be able to catch it at? Like, what's the word?
So shout out straight out of Low Cash, man. Can we jumping on with you all, man? And really just it's intellectual black versation, man. So you know how that can go. I'm talking about, you know, you can be on the front porch or you can be in Fairground Park during the quarantine with a bottle of Hennessy, you know. So wherever the conversation goes, man, we're going to talk about a host of different things, man. Some days we might tell you how to get your life together, you know, on the money end, and in other days we're going to talk about you because your life is not together on the money end. So, you know, it's nobody and nothing is exempt, man, at all.
I hear that.
Yeah, we appreciate y'all coming into the network, man, and we look forward to, you know, everything going forward, you guys too. So we're going to wrap it up, fellas. Email us, straightoilc@gmail.com. Where can it hit you up at AI?
You can hit me up on Facebook at Allen I, A-L-L-E-N-E-Y-E. Yeah, just give me there for now, man. I'm going under a big rebranding at the moment. So all my new stuff will be ready. That's one of those things I'm using my time for efficiently during the quarantine. So,
all right, Matt, where can I hit you up at?
Man, you know where I'm at, man. I'm on Cheat Seat Fan on Twitter. You can find me by my real name on the Facebook, man. This is my last episode as a somebody that's in his mid 30s. I'm graduating to my upper 30s this weekend.
Welcome to the club, my brother.
We'll have the recap of a quarantine birthday coming for you early next week. And shout out to this, man. So on Sunday too, by the way, man, my man, friend of the program, friend of many of us that listen to this, former guest, Vandalism. He's going to be DJing a set from 3 to 5 through his IG stream, man. That's going to be my birthday party for the year. So
that's,
you know,
where everybody's going to go to Vandalism's IG is where your birthday party will be at.
Most definitely, man. He's going to be spinning, doing a set. It's going to be the Palace vs. Saints set for my St. Louis folks, so you know what that looks like. But yeah, man, I'm going to have a Zoom set up, man, get a couple people in there, but definitely we're gonna be following Van's IG stream live, even on the Zoom. So we'll have that popping, man. So if you check this out before that, definitely check in, vibe with my man Van, man. He's gonna be doing something for the people on Sunday afternoon.
All right, fellas, we wrapping it up, and we will see y'all next week. Matt, we'll be back with some heat for everybody next week too.
Absolutely.
All right, y'all.
Yes, sir. Take it easy.